Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for joining us.
Can you tell us
you tell us why there has been this mass exodus of people fleeing their homes?
Well, there has been a migration from Central America to the United States is nothing new. What is different this time is that they travel together, and they are traveling together for the sake of safety. We can call crossing Mexico. Some people call it in Spanish. You can translate it as the trial of Mexico. It's a real trial. It tests people beyond their strength many times, unfortunately, because of of Mexico's own violence crisis. So NGOs, human rights defenders, for a long time, I've been thinking about, well, how do we make this phenomenon visible? And then they suggested the people to travel together so that then they would be visible and it would be less easier for both the Mexican government to violate their rights under the Mexican law and for criminal cartels to make them a target. And this time they were quite successful. They were quite successful because President Trump made them so visible during the U.S. midterms campaign.
Yeah, it's definitely not been, I guess, probably gone to plan the way they thought it was going to go. Now, as you said, the aim of the caravan is to seek asylum in the U.S. Trump has been extremely vocal about not letting that happen, though, yet the migrants continue their journey north. Do you think they're unaware of the statements he's making, or are they aware and just simply have no other alternative but to continue?
I think that they are, many of them are aware. It's just that whatever is waiting for them ahead is better than what they have left. So if we look at the history, most of them come from Honduras. They come from Honduras, El Salvador, a few of them from Guatemala. And Honduras and El Salvador are extremely violent countries. In the case of Honduras, when according to a study that was developed by Vanderbilt University, when a migrant begins thinking about migrating, is once a Honduran, once they have undergone some violent event in the past year, so they could have been subjects to extortion, assault, robbed, and once they have suffered this twice, they say, oh, perhaps we should leave. Because, for example, the World Health Organization, according to the World Health Organization, once you have the health or murders can be considered a health issue or are addressed as a health issue. So the health, the murder rate in Honduras is 43.6 per 100,000 inhabitants. This quadruples what the World Health Organization has classified or categorized as endemic violence. So these people are living under endemic violence. They are living also, many of them, in conditions of poverty. Honduras is the second most poor country in the Americas after Haiti. So around 60% of the people live in poverty, again, according to United Nations thresholds. So they are fleeing this situation. Whatever is getting ahead is just better than what they have left. They are fleeing violence, and they are fleeing poverty that aggravates the violence.
Yeah, there's definitely just so many dangers, I guess, these people are facing on their journey as well to the US border, let alone what they're fleeing from. There seems to be mixed information coming from the media regarding the missing migrants as well. Can you clarify where and how these people have gone missing?
Yes, they were traveling through Veracruz. That's a state in southern Mexico. And unfortunately, it's one of the zones that has been most roughly hit by violence in Mexico. So as they wanted to get to the border as soon as possible, two trucks passed in the highway where they were walking and offer them to offer them some ride. So we'll take you. And one of the victims that escaped, she said that once they were in the truck, the driver told them, "Oh, we want 150 pesos," and then they paid 150 Mexican pesos. And later he said, "Well, I want more money." And when the migrant said, "We don't have more money," then he took them to a group of armed men, and he left them with this group of armed men. At first, the migrants told this to the human rights defender from one of the from one of the states of Mexico, Oaxaca, and he was the first one to tell this story to media. And then the case was presented before the prosecutors in Mexico. So now there is officially an investigation that has been opened in Mexico, in the state of Puebla, because they were traveling from Veracruz to Puebla, and apparently they disappeared in Puebla. That's what happened. And they have been. This is why they were traveling in groups. One of the reasons is the criminal cartels, Mexico's violence crisis. In 2010, for example, there was this massacre of 72 migrants in San Fernando. And then there was another massacre of around 200 migrants the next year around the same zone in the state of Tamaulipas. So this is why the dangers that the migrants endure as they face in their situation of vulnerability, the violence in Mexico, why human rights defenders, NGOs have, and the organizer of this specific caravan, who was a Honduran lawmaker, Bartolo Fuentes, they thought, well, if you travel in group, you're going to be safer, you're going to become visible.
Yeah, but I guess it's kind of proved a little bit of that wrong. I guess being so visible, you would be susceptible to, I guess, having groups of attackers and different things like that. Continuing on, as of now, the group has arrived in the Mexican border city of Tijuana, with President Donald Trump declaring that he will close the border altogether and use lethal force if necessary. What do you think the future looks like for these people trying to get through?
They still have a right to apply for asylum in the United States, and it's what President Trump did is that he signed an executive order restricting where they can apply, because you can apply for asylum either at entry ports, the border, or if you're within the territory of the United States. Once you are inside the United States, you can still apply for asylum. And he issued this executive order in which he was trying to restrict the places where they can apply for asylum. This was struck down by the courts in the United States, and this is why he had this, in Twitter, he had like this debate with the chief of the Supreme Court. In the case of the ones that are staying in Mexico, actually a priest, Alejandro Solalinde, who has been working with, he's a Catholic priest that has been working with migrants for a long time, he has suggested the migrants to either stay in Mexico or apply for asylum in Canada. The problem with the Mexican law is very generous. That is, it goes beyond the international standards. Asylum seekers have a right to apply for asylum and be granted asylum. So this goes beyond the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that only grants a right to apply for asylum and enjoy it, but not a right to be granted the asylum. Under the Mexican Constitution, asylum seekers have this right to be granted asylum. And the problem is that there is a gap between the declaration in the Constitution and the reality of in Mexico. because the United States also, since the Obama administration gave funds to Mexico, and Mexico has been, they were supposed to be invested in security, but both the United States and Mexico agreed to use it to deter migration. So right now, Mexico deports more Central Americans than the United States. It's like if Trump had this discourse of the wall, and, well, Mexico has become the wall for Central Americans. What is the hope that Central Americans now have is that a new government will be sworn in Mexico on the 1st of December. And the president-elect, López Obrador, has said that he's going to grant temporary residence permit that that will allow asylum seekers to work, to access social benefits in Mexico, such as healthcare, schools for the children. So their situation is very likely to improve with the next administration in Mexico that begins on the 1st of December. But right now, and this is another reason why they are traveling together, they make themselves visible, and then it is less likely that the Mexican government is going to violate their rights, both under domestic law and international law, precisely because the media are following them.
Yeah, wow. There's a lot to take in there, but it's all very interesting, and it sounds like there's a lot of hope there, while there's also a bit of doubt on what could hold for the future of those people as well. So thank you so much, Doctor, for talking to us this morning and filling us in on all the detail.
On the contrary, thank you for having me.